And of course, make sure you've got your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, I'm Scott. I'd like to add my welcome to that of Brian's. Welcome this morning. I'd love to meet you after the service for you who are visiting us. And we're trying to stay cool. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the freedom to come to hear your word without fear. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. We pray this morning that we will find comfort and courage and hope as we read your word, and that by it you'll be transforming us to make us more like your Son, Jesus. Amen. Okay, now after the sermon, there will be an offertory song, and you can just pop your pens and pencils in the bags as they go through. Well, one of the things that I find most discouraging about Christian ministry is the toll that it takes on relationships. Sometimes I reflect back over my relatively short life, and I look back and I see quite a long trail of old and of broken and of stunted relationships. Friendships that haven't grown as I hoped they would. Friendships that have ended abruptly. And I look back and I think about these particular friendships that have either been stunted or have either ended because of my Christian ministry. They've ended because I've been doing the work of a Christian and serving Christ. Now, Christian ministry has taken its toll on many relationships, and it is really discouraging. Just last night, actually, I had a dream. As I sat down in my office this morning, it kind of dawned on me, I dreamed about this person last night. I dreamed about a particular friend who I was very, very close with. He's one of my oldest friends. We were at high school together. We were like two peas in a pod. But sadly, this friendship is one of the casualties of my ministry in the gospel. See, the thing is, I chose to love Christ more than I loved my mates. I chose to put Christ first rather than my mates. And so time that I would have otherwise spent hanging out with my best mate, I ended up sacrificing so that I could serve Christ and build his church. And so there was an intense pressure on our relationship caused by Christian ministry. And so there was all this time that I could have spent with him going to the drag strip or to the pub or to the beach or camping, just hanging out. There's a lot of time that I sacrificed there so that I could spend time sharing the good news of Jesus with people. I could go to Bible study and be part of a small group. I could come along to Sunday gatherings like this, that I could teach and lead at a youth group. There were lots of sacrifices that were made which placed pressure on our friendship. And so there were lots of times when he and other of my mates were doing something together, and I could see their relationships getting tighter and tighter and ours getting weaker and looser. There was times when that pressure on me to drop the ministry, to drop Bible study, to drop leading youth group, to drop church, whatever it was, that pressure was quite strong. I wanted to hang out with my friends. I wanted to stay best mates with them. And so in this case, and in the case of some of my other friendships, you can see that the pressure of ministry has taken its toll on the friendship. But in this case, and also with some other friends, ministry took a toll on our relationship because of rejection. So pressure and rejection. Because this friend, he chose to reject Jesus. And because I dearly love my friend, I tried and tried over the years to reach him with the good news that I know he so desperately needs. I want him to know Christ. Now, I've tried not to be pushy. It's not like every time I see him, I start banging him around the head with the Bible. But over the years, I've talked to him about Jesus and I've challenged him to consider Jesus. But he has rejected Jesus. He's rejected the message. And in doing so, in part, he's rejected me. It wasn't a total rejection of, I don't want to see you anymore, ignoring my phone calls or anything, although some friends have done that. But what he's done is he's decided that he has other mates that are a bit more like him. Other mates who don't talk about Jesus, who don't make him feel uncomfortable just for what they stand for. And so he hasn't shut me off completely, but pushed me away. And we've got a distance between us now. And so that distance is directly related to my Christian ministry. There are many more, some lost friendships, some stunted friendships. And as I think about them, I think about the pressure that's placed on those friendships and the rejection that I've felt. Well, it's discouraging. It's disheartening. And sometimes it makes me want to give up in ministry, to drop those things that feel like they're getting in the way of good friendships. Well, as Christians, we all have this ministry, don't we? As Christians, every single one of us has full-time ministry. Every single one of us is to be engaged in sharing the good news about Jesus plainly with those around us. And so if you have been faithful in carrying out your ministry, then you too, I'm sure, will know this pressure and this rejection that I've felt. So you too will lose friends. You too will at times be treated as an outsider, as someone who doesn't fit in. And you too will feel the pressure to give up your ministry. And so you'll be under pressure to quit on the gospel because you know that life and relationships will be easier and less painful. Friends, sometimes it will be discouraging and disheartening. And so the question we're dealing with this morning is, how can we keep going in ministry? How can we keep talking to people about Jesus? How can we keep serving Christ and his church without being discouraged by the rejection and the pressure? How can we keep going in ministry without being discouraged by the rejection and the pressure? How can we keep going without losing heart? Well, Paul, he was just a bloke just like us, and his ministry was at heart just like ours. He too had the job of plainly setting forth the good news about Jesus. And Paul too knew the pain and the hurt of rejection and of this intense crushing pressure to give up on the gospel. He knew it more than we do, don't we? Didn't he? He was rejected by his own people, the Jews. There were churches that he had started that he was then rejected by. He faced the intense pressure to give up, the pressure of shipwrecks and imprisonment and of beatings. But through all this pressure and rejection, Paul never lost hope. He continued in his ministry. And what gave him this hope? What gave him this courage? Maybe you think, well, what did Paul know that we don't know? Well, there are three headings on your handout there. And we'll see that there are three things that Paul had courage in and that we too can have courage in. Firstly, Paul had courage in mercy. Courage in mercy. Secondly, Paul had courage in the truth. Courage in truth. And thirdly, Paul had courage in power. And so, friends, you and I too can also have courage to continue in ministry, in mercy, in truth, and in power. And if we don't lose sight of these three things, we will not lose hope in ministry. Courage in mercy. Look with me at verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Well, the therefore, as I'm sure you know, anytime there's a therefore, it's picking up on what's already come, what's been previously said. And so Paul is picking up on what he said in the last chapter about the ministry, about the nature of the ministry. Now, the word ministry, it just means service. And so the word for minister just means servant. It's a common name for a common person. And so when Paul says, through God's mercy, we have this ministry, he's just saying, through God's mercy, we have this job of serving. We have this service to do. Well, what is this service? What's the therefore? Well, in chapter 3, we see that this ministry, this service, is of the new covenant. It's the ministry of increasing and eternal glory. It's the ministry that brings righteousness and freedom and life. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's an incredible ministry. Paul says that this is a ministry that brings life. It's a ministry that brings life to people. It's a ministry that brings glory, brings God glory. And it's a ministry that brings freedom. Life, glory, and freedom. What an amazing ministry, isn't it? This ministry, it actually does something. It does something powerful and eternal and glorious. Because this ministry that we have to plainly share the news of Jesus is a ministry that brings salvation. Well, it's by God's mercy that this is a ministry we've been given. See, God has given us mercy through his son Jesus, hasn't he? God, in his mercy, has saved us to be his servants. God, in his mercy, has sent Jesus to die in our place so that we may have life and righteousness and be saved from the punishment we justly deserve. It's by God's mercy that he has reached out and given you life. And he's also given you the message of life to reach to others. So friends, what Paul is telling us and what I'm saying to you this morning is that in the midst of rejection and crushing pressure, keep sight of God's mercy and you will not lose heart. We will not lose heart if we do not lose sight of God's mercy. Instead, we'll be encouraged to serve God by bringing his mercies to others. Friends, we have courage in mercy, and secondly, we have courage in truth. Courage in truth. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. See, Paul has a courage in the truth of the gospel, doesn't he? He knows that the truth about Jesus, has its own legs to stand on. It stands in its own right. And he knows that all we have to do is just plainly set it before people. And we just trust that it will do its work. We trust in the truth of the gospel. And so Paul says we don't need to do any trickery or we don't need to try and dress it up or make it seem like something else. There should be no distortion or dishonesty. We must let the gospel stand in its own right. And so we can have courage knowing that the truth of the message about Jesus will do its own work in people's hearts. And so we have courage in the power of the truth to do its work. We have courage that the truth will transform people. After all, remember a few weeks back when we did chapter 3, it's a ministry of the Spirit, and the Spirit works through God's word. And so, as we speak, as we plainly set forth the truth about Jesus, to some it will be the stench, the stink of death, and they will reject it. And they'll probably reject us too, perhaps. But for others, for some, it'll be the fragrance of life. Some will recognize the truth, and they also will receive mercy, just like you and I have. And so we can take courage knowing that the truth will do its work. Well, if we read on through verses 3 and 4, we see that Paul says this, that many will reject the gospel. To many they've been veiled. They've got like a thick curtain over their hearts so that they cannot see the truth. And so we should expect that many will reject the gospel, and we should expect that some will reject us too. And as we do feel that rejection of broken friendships, of friendships that never got off the ground, well, we'll feel tempted to cave in to the tide of pressure that we feel in our society, the tide of pressure that wants us to call wrong things right, the tide of pressure in our society to call a spade a spoon when we want to just call a spade a spade. See, you'll feel pressure as you're rejected to deny the gospel's claims, to distort the word of God. One example is that one of the biggest things in our society at the moment that's a barrier to the gospel, a barrier to the news about Jesus, is God's stance on homosexuality. And so there's immense pressure on the Christian church, immense pressure on us as Christian individuals to cave in and distort the word of God. I mean, how can we call homosexual activity a sin? How can we say that? And we feel the pressure to cave in and to come up with some kind of solution that accommodates the world's perspective. Now, this is just one of many, many, many things, isn't it? So many ways we're tempted and pressured to distort the gospel. Just a few weeks ago, I was at Ask With Girls, and I was helping with a Q&A, a question and answer session for some Year 9 classes. And sure enough, on one of the days, the very first question we got asked was about this issue. And I felt the pressure and I felt the temptation of knowing that the vast majority of people in this room will not be happy with what the gospel has to say. And so the temptation is there. It's very real. But we need to take courage in the truth. We need to take courage knowing that God's word is right. And how can we know that? How can we take that courage? Well, see, it's because we are not blind like those who are perishing, says Paul. See, we're not blind like those who are perishing. We're not in the dark like people with veils over their hearts. Well, why aren't we in the dark? Verse 6. We're not in the dark, for God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," the God who created the world with his words, he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Friends, we can take courage in the truth because we have seen the truth. We have seen the glory of God in the man Jesus Christ. He has risen from the dead, and so we know that the scriptures are true. And so, friends, we will not lose heart if we do not lose sight of God's glory in Christ Jesus. We will not lose heart if we do not lose sight of God's glory in Jesus. I want to encourage you to take courage to persevere in ministry by keeping sight of God's mercy and by keeping sight of the truth of the glory of Christ, and thirdly, by taking courage in God's mighty power. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. See, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Well, I was hoping over the last couple of weeks to get some potter's clay and to make an old-fashioned clay jar for you. But you just have to imagine one. I know Peter had one this morning. Just imagine an old-fashioned clay jar, like the kind of thing you'd imagine they'd dig up out of the middle of the desert in Palestine. And I want to ask you, what would happen if I had a clay jar here and I just started squeezing it if I squeeze it and press down on every side, what do you reckon would happen to that clay jar? Break. Okay. Depends on what you think about my ability to crush it. Maybe you think I'm a bit of a weed. My wife tells me that sometimes. She still loves me. But yeah, if you had an old-fashioned clay jar and you press on it from every side, only one thing's going to happen. It's going to implode, isn't it? Because a weak clay jar just can't handle that kind of pressure. But what if I filled it with concrete? If I poured it full of concrete, let it dry out, what would happen then if I crushed it? If I squeezed it and pressed it and maybe I put it on the floor and stepped on it? What's going to happen? Nothing. That's exactly right. Nothing. Nothing's going to happen. See, for a clay jar, unless there's something inside it, something other than the clay jar itself, that is working from within to give it the strength and the power to resist the pressure, well, unless there's something else doing the work, it will just implode. I don't know if you noticed, but in this passage so far, everything is about God's work. In verse 1, we see it's about God's mercy. In verse 2, it's about God's word. In verse 6, it's God who shines in our hearts. And here we see, in verse 7, that this all-surpassing power, the power for us to be pressed but not crushed, comes from God and not from us. See, as humans, we're weak, aren't we? We're frail. We can be damaged. And we are just like clay jars, as we've been reminded this morning. And so in our own strength, in my own strength, in your own strength, we are not strong enough to resist the pressures that ministry brings. We're not strong enough to persevere in ministry of our own strength. But you know what? That's okay. It's okay because we can take courage that God works in our weakness to display his power. It's God's power that will work in us to keep us from imploding, that will help us persevere, enable us to persevere and continue in ministry. And so, friends, we will not lose heart if we do not lose sight of God's power in us. We will not lose heart if we do not lose sight of God's power in us. And so in those times when you feel that you want to lose heart, those times when you want to give up ministry because you feel that you just can't cope, when you can't handle the rejection and the pressure, I want to encourage you to remember that God is working his mighty power in you. Well, this year, as I've spent my first year out of college, here in this church and in this community where all day, every day, I get to meet with people and talk about Jesus and set forth the truth. And I've faced rejection and pressure. I've become more and more and more aware of my weakness than I ever have. I feel like the cracks in me have been showing all over the place. And there have been times when I've just wanted to give in. I've wanted to give up ministry. I've been tempted to throw it in because I feel like I just can't handle it. But the thing that God's been teaching me more than anything else this year is that it's not actually about me. It doesn't matter that I'm weak. Actually, it's good that I'm weak because it's about God who works through me. And what I've come to realize is that the cracks in me are actually how God's glory shines through. It's actually through my weakness that as we persevere in ministry, that God's power and glory is shown. It's through the cracks in this frail clay pot that the glory of God shines through. And so I'm learning that when I feel frail and weak and inadequate and incompetent, and I'm feeling the pressure and the pain of rejection, I'm learning to fix my sight on God's power at work within me. And then when I do, and when you do, you'll feel courage in knowing the power of God. Friends, we will not lose heart if we do not lose sight of God's power in us. And so this morning, as we consider this question, how can we persevere? How can we continue in the rejection and the pressure of ministry? Well, I want to encourage you that even though Christian ministry will take its toll on your relationships, even though you will face rejection, even though you will feel incredible crushing pressure to cave in and lose heart, friends, you will not lose heart if you do not lose sight of God's mercy. You will not lose heart if you do not lose sight of the truth. And you will not lose heart if you do not lose sight of God's power working in and through you. Paul says in verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Well, you notice at the bottom of your outline there, there's a prayer. We're going to pray this together. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you trust in him, I'd like to encourage you to pray this with me. Let us pray. God, thank you for your mercy to me in Christ, in saving me and choosing me to be your minister. Thank you that the message of forgiveness in Jesus is true and that I can trust it. Thank you that your power is displayed through my weakness. Please keep my eyes on Christ so that I will not lose heart in setting forth the truth. Amen.